In the foyer, we have a sermon suggestion box. And a week or so ago, somebody put a suggestion in that box for a sermon. So I am going to speak on that this morning. And it was in the form of a question. And the question was this: do elders have the authority as shepherds to deny a Christian membership? So we want to talk about that. We want to discuss shepherds and sheep this morning, and in particular, the role of shepherds in the Lord's church. The Bible has much to say about shepherds and sheep, both in the literal sense and in the figurative sense. And time and again, the Bible speaks of Jesus as the shepherd of his people. Jesus is the shepherd. As we follow him, we are his sheep. So what is the role of a shepherd? Well, I have broken this down to 3 points, and that's what we're going to deal with this morning. But a shepherd is to lead, to feed, and to protect the flock of God. That's what it boils down to. And as we mentioned, the Lord's people are referred to as sheep. There are a number of passages that show us that. If we go to Psalm 23 and the first verse, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If the Lord is my shepherd, I am his sheep." In Psalm 79 at verse 13, "So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations." In Psalm 100 at verse 3, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." So we need to understand this role of the shepherd. The shepherds are to lead and feed and protect the flock. And just as a real shepherd would do that, then the shepherds in the church, the elders or the overseers in the Lord's church, are to lead and to feed and to protect the church. There are 3 terms that are found in the Bible from which we get this office of the eldership. It can be called by different names, but there are 3 Greek words, and they are used interchangeably in the scriptures. And I want to share those with you to give us a background of the role of shepherds or elders. First of all, there's the word presbyteros, and the English words we get from that are elder and presbyter. And then there's the Greek word episkopos. And from that word, we get the English words bishop or overseer. The 3rd word is poimen. And from that Greek word, we get the English words pastor or shepherd. Now, these terms are used interchangeably in the Bible. They all refer to the same office. And there are 2 places in the scriptures where we find these terms used interchangeably. The first is in Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 17. You remember, as Paul is making his way back to Jerusalem at the end of his 3rd missionary journey, he stops at Miletus and he sends for the elders of the church. And those elders, that's the word presbyteros. So he's calling the presbyteros to come see him. Now, as you continue reading, notice what is said in verse 28. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." So these elders are overseers. They are episkopos. And they are shepherds. They are to shepherd, poimen, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And so we see those terms used interchangeably. Now, there's another place in the scriptures that show us that too, and that's in 1 Peter chapter 5 in the first 4 verses. Notice what is said here. Peter says, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder, I am a presbyteros, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd, or poimen, the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers or as episkopos, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, that is Jesus, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And so we can see in these words a description, really, of the role and the work of elders in the Lord's church. So, what is the role of these shepherds? Well, we've already said that, and we're going to go back over that. But first of all, elders are to lead. Now, why are they to lead? Well, they are to lead to keep the flock from being destroyed. And notice the Bible tells us that if they don't do that, things can happen to the church that are going to be very devastating. The result of not leading is that savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, he says in verse 29. And then notice in verse 30, he says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So the warning is this. There's people from the outside that can come in and destroy the church. There are people on the inside of the church that can destroy the church. And so these elders are to lead and to, and I could probably just go ahead and say protect. We're going to overlap some things here. The church that is entrusted to them. So how do they lead? Well, they lead the flock by being a pattern of good works. Notice in 2 Timothy 1 at verse 13. We find that Paul says, hold fast the pattern of good works which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. And so one of the ways that elders lead is by holding to the pattern that has been given to us. That is from the Word of God. That is from the doctrine of Christ. And so we are to follow that pattern. And elders are to lead us in that pattern. They also lead by their maturity. Did you notice one of the qualifications of the elder is not to be a novice, not to be a newcomer, not to be inexperienced? 1 Timothy 3 at verse 6 says, not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. And so elders are to be mature. And because of their maturity and their understanding of the Word of God, they are able to lead. And they lead by their commitment. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 2, a verse that applies to everyone and certainly would apply to elders, says this, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Certainly that is a work of the elders in the Lord's church. And then they lead by their knowledge of the Scripture. Certainly, if you're going to have men leading a church, they need to be knowledgeable in the Word of God. In Titus 1 at verse 9, notice what is said about these elders. Holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to both exhort and convict those who contradict. And so that tells me that elders have the responsibility of standing for the truth. And when there are those that come in and teach things that contradict the truth, then they need to be able to point out to them the fallacy of their belief. They also lead by their desire to save the church. In 1 Timothy 3 at verse 1, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. And that good work involves this leading of the flock in the right direction. So we see that the elders, the shepherds, have a responsibility to lead the church. But not only are they to lead, but they are also to feed the church of God. And they do this in a number of ways, but primarily by providing spiritual food. They are the ones responsible for the spiritual food that the church receives. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, at verses 1 and 2, notice what is said. Therefore, laying aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envying, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. It is God's desire that we grow spiritually. And it is the responsibility of the elders to see that the church grows spiritually. In 2 Peter 3 at verse 18, Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, how do they do this? Well, they make decisions about worship and Bible classes and gospel meetings and singings and other activities that the church would be involved in that would bring about this feeding of spiritual food. In Acts chapter 20 at verse 28, and I like the King James Version here. We read this earlier, but notice what the King James Version says. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. Now I use the New King James Version and it says to shepherd the church of God. But this uses the word feed. They are to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. Feeding the flock or the church is a requirement of shepherds or the elders in the local church. They are to also protect the church. And there's reasons that the church needs to be protected. In Matthew 7, at verse 15, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made this statement. He said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." These false prophets are false teachers. And so the warning from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is that there will be false teachers that will try to destroy the flock. They'll look like sheep, but they're really wolves. But how do you know whether they're wolves or they're sheep? Well, there needs to be some investigation into those folks to determine whether they're wolves or sheep. Do you think wolves would try to enter the flock today? Well, I suggest to you they certainly would. And there's been many examples of that, many cases of that. In fact, it's happened a number of times. And I will share with you an example that of a man who preached at this church when it was the East Florence Church of Christ back in the 1960s. In the early 1960s, Charles Holt preached at the East Florence Church of Christ. From all that I've heard about Charles Holt, and some of you have been here and would remember him, he was a very intelligent, charismatic, and personable man, and everyone absolutely loved him. Sometime while he was at East Florence, or shortly after, he began to espouse certain doctrines foreign to the Word of God. In the late 1960s, Holt wrote for a journal titled Sentinel of Truth, in which he began to espouse the doctrine that the church is not an organized functional unit and that elders are nothing more than older persons. In other words, there is no eldership in the church. He contended that there is no such thing as the appointment of men to the eldership, for there is no eldership. This is a quote from Guardian of Truth, September the 7th, 1989. Brother Holt also developed a position that he held to, that he did not believe that the local church had the right to have a permanent treasury. The result of that was that, of course, the local church could not afford to have a building. And so he would go off into that area too, that the local church couldn't have a building. And he was, when he would preach after that, various places, he would rent rooms in various places and ask people to come to these particular areas, and that's where he would preach because he didn't think the church had the right to have a building. In the early 1990s, Holt sought membership at a church where two of our members at Singing River were members at the time. It was in another area. This was in another state. And that church didn't have elders at the time. But the men of the congregation, being aware of Holt's false doctrine, refused fellowship. They were aware that Holt had turned two congregations to his false teaching and would not allow his fellowship in this congregation. So the question is this. Did this church have the right to turn away a false teacher? And the answer is absolutely. Now, if that church had elders at the time, would the elders have the right to refuse fellowship to this man? And the answer is absolutely they would have that right. Are elders required to take into fellowship false teachers? Absolutely not. This could destroy the integrity and doctrinal correctness of a local congregation. And so the elders have a responsibility to protect the flock from those within and those who are without who would like to come in and become a part of the flock and perhaps teach their false doctrine. You see, elders are to know their sheep. We could spend a lot of time in John chapter 10 talking about this very thing. They are to admonish the sheep. They are to counsel the sheep. They are to reprove and to rebuke and exhort the sheep. Notice 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now I know that Paul is talking to a gospel preacher, but I'll tell you, elders have that responsibility as well. To reprove, to rebuke, and exhort. What does that mean? Reprove means to reprimand or censure, to point out fault and encourage change. Rebuke means to reprove cuttingly and sharply those who will not abandon their sins. It's a sharp disapproval or criticism. And they are to exhort, that is, they are to strongly encourage someone to do something. Now, how are they to do that? Well, the scripture goes on to say that they are to do that with long suffering and doctrine. Long suffering is having patience, and doctrine is through the teachings of the Bible, a study of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But not only that, we find that elders have a responsibility of disciplining members that are disorderly. In 2 Thessalonians 3 at verse 6, notice what the scripture says. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother who walks disorderly or out of rank or out of order, and not after the tradition which he received of us. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 at verse 11, Paul says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Do you think the elders in the Lord's church have a responsibility to discipline folks? Well, I believe they do, because God has put them in that position of having a responsibility to discipline people. In Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 31, Paul again speaking to the elders at Ephesus. Notice what he says. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among your own selves will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. We've already read that. But notice now verse 31. Therefore, watch. What's the responsibility of elders? What's the responsibility of shepherds? To watch and to remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. The elders have the responsibility of watching over the flock, of protecting the flock. And they discipline the sheep, and they attempt to bring them back. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, and I've preached from the 23rd Psalm here some time ago, but Keller tells the story about sometimes little sheep, little lambs, would get out away from the flock, and they get themselves in trouble. And that's why the shepherd had that staff and that crook, and he could pull them out of difficult places and that sort of thing. But he said sometimes there's little lambs that just will not stay in the flock. And so he said the shepherd would go out and find that little lamb and lay that little lamb around its neck and grab one of its legs and pop it. Break it. Break the leg of the little lamb. And then set the little lamb down in the flock. And from that point on, that little lamb would stay in the flock. Now, I am not suggesting that elders have the right to break your leg to get you to be where you ought to be. But the point is this. They have a right to try to attempt to bring you back by any means possible to get you to be a part of the Lord's church and be the kind of person that you ought to be. Shepherds are to know their sheep. They are required to know their sheep. How do shepherds in the Lord's church know their sheep? Well, they've got to get to know them. It's customary for prospective members to meet with the elders if they desire to become a part of the flock, part of the church. What's the purpose of this? To get to know them, to know their past, to know things about them, to know who they are, to know if they have indeed obeyed the gospel according to God's plan. Have they obeyed the gospel? That's one of the first things that they need to know about these people. There might be people to come in among us that want to have fellowship with us that have never heard that baptism is necessary for remission of sins. Well, they're not members of the Lord's church until they do those things, do that thing. And sometimes they need to know about their marriage situation. We live in a time where people have multiple marriages, and some people have scriptural divorces and remarriages, according to Matthew chapter 19:9, Matthew chapter 5, verse 32. But there are many people today who are not living in scriptural marriages that are attempting to join a particular church. Our elders need to understand something about their past. They need to know about their thoughts and their beliefs, about certain teachings that they might have or ideas that they might have about the scriptures. They need to know if this person is a liability. You know, there's a lot of people today that just go off the deep end on social media. There's examples of people. I've heard of situations where people who were members of the Lord's church would get on Facebook or some other social media platform and blast the local church, the preachers, the teachers, or the members. I tell you what, the church doesn't need that. The church has enough problems without all that. They need to know what people think. And I put here the example of Apollos, and I want us to think about this for just a minute. In Acts chapter 18, at verses 27-28. It says, when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, and when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews, publicly showing the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Now, these people in Achaia didn't have a clue who Apollos was. And so the brethren wrote to brethren, evidently that they knew, and recommended this person. You know, they didn't live in a time when you can pick up the phone, call another church or some other place or somebody you might know and ask about this person and their background and their beliefs and their teachings and that sort of thing. They needed to know something about this man. Now, can you imagine the damage that Apollos could have done to the church with his ability to speak and teach if he taught a false doctrine? This man was very eloquent, very powerful. And if he believed a false doctrine, can you imagine him having an effect on the church and leading them in the wrong direction? It's good to know something about people before they join with a church. Now, we want people to come, and we want new members, and we want visitors. But if they believe or teach false doctrine, we need to know about it. Or we would have to disfellowship them after fellowshipping them, because we have to purge the church. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, and we have to be careful about that very thing. Galatians chapter 5 at verse 9. False teaching can multiply rapidly. False teaching can cause untold problems in the Lord's church. So in trying to understand people, does the prospect agree with the teachings of the church, the Bible, as we understand it? Will they air out their dirty laundry on social media, putting down the church and various individuals? Will they expose their bodies on social media? Have you seen that? The Christians would appear on social media dressed in such a way that the world dresses and not as a child of God ought to dress. Will they advertise unacceptable things on social media? I've seen grandparents advertising cheerleader tryouts and majorette tryouts. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't believe the clothing that they wear is acceptable to God. And I don't believe the shepherds here believe that either. Now, if you do, then you probably might want to go somewhere else, because that's what we're going to teach. That's what we're going to believe, that we ought to follow God's plan as far as kind of dress we ought to wear. And so as we think about this, and the question again, do elders have the authority as shepherds to deny a Christian membership? We could answer that in just one word, and that is an emphatic yes. I certainly believe the scriptures teach us that. We're happy to have visitors come and hear the gospel and to worship with us. Please keep coming. We'd love to study with you if there are things that we teach that you're not familiar with or you don't know about. But in this lesson, we're just talking about those who want to identify with the Church of Singing River and the responsibilities that the elders have to this church. So that's our lesson on shepherds and sheep and the role of shepherds in the Lord's church. Now let me close with another true story. In April 1901, a man came to Florence, Alabama. And said he was from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and that he was a Christian preacher, calling himself by the name of Bolin. He preached at East Florence for about 10 nights, claiming to be an unmarried man, and the way he conducted himself led to some suspicion that he might be a fraud. And just before leaving here, a Mr. Patrick, who lived here, told us that he knew our preacher well, and that his name was Joe Kelly. He was a married man and had several children. The brethren became suspicious and asked him for references, and he gave some. The results were devastating. A number of references sent in. I just will share one of them with you, and this is from a man from Owens Crossroad, and the letter was dated May the 12th, 1901. And this was his response. Dear sir, from the description you gave of the man that has been preaching for you, he must be Joe Kelly. He is not at home. His wife is here with five little children and is the object of pity. She is in terrible bad health. She is my granddaughter. Kelly is up to those old tricks, passing himself off as a single man and by some other name to have a good time with some young girl in good standing. Kelly's left here to beat his debts. There are several parties here that'd like to know his whereabouts. These men are talking of putting out a reward of $300 for him. He has a nice woman for a wife, as nice as the world could afford. Friends, it pays to check people out. It pays to know who you're allowing into your fellowship. And so, yes, the elders have the responsibility to make a determination and certainly have the right to refuse fellowship to those that are not walking as they should. Well, that's our lesson this morning. Hope it's been good for us to study these things. And if you're not a child of God, we offer you the opportunity to become one. If you've never obeyed the gospel, if you've never been baptized into Christ for remission of your sins, then we would offer you that opportunity this morning. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.